God bless you, saints. This is April 5th, Sunday morning. This is the second service that we're speaking from our home with the shutdown of everything. I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and read verses 1 through 5. And let's pray before we read. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercy, for your abundant grace. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you in this time of trouble. We can trust in you, Lord. We can trust in your word. While this world is panicking and in fear, Lord, we find a place. We find a shelter in the time of the storm. And you are that shelter, Lord, today. And your word means more to us than all of what the government should say, Lord. We're not trusting in any man. We're trusting in the Word of God. We're trusting in the living God. And I thank you, Lord, for this time we have together with our brothers and sisters that we can fellowship around your Word. Lord, give me the words to say, Lord. Help me to be an encouragement, something edifying for your people. Bless the reading of your Word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to speak from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall he reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So good morning again, brothers and sisters. I was reading in the scriptures in Isaiah, and I had a few thoughts about prophecy, and I wanted to speak about when prophecy is fulfilled. What's interesting to me, I had spent some time this week reading the scriptures, and then on Saturday in the morning, I had spent a few hours just praying and reading the scriptures and preparing some notes. And after I had spent some time and was headed in this direction, I took a break, and I wanted to listen to something that Brother Jamie had sent to me. He sent me a video of Brother Jonathan Kahn, and I didn't know what it was about, but I wanted to listen to it. And so after I had already gone in this direction, I listened to the video, and it was striking to me how timely it was for Jamie to send that to me. And I'm going to share that video on WhatsApp, and I'll also try to put a link on the website if I can figure out how to do that. And because it just meshes together with what we're talking about, and I thought he did a really good job looking at the history of Israel and how he who blesses Israel be blessed, and he who curses Israel be cursed, and even to the present day of how, you know, we could be seeing scripture being fulfilled before our eyes. So I thought that was timely. Appreciate that. We're praying for all of you, and we ask you to continue to pray for us. I shared with you that I had some symptoms for the virus, and So when I talked to my doctor, he suggested I get tested. I did that on Tuesday this week, and it took until Saturday morning is when I got the results back that were negative. Of course, we don't know if the tests are completely valid, but it doesn't really matter. Jesus is our healer. He is our God. He healeth all of our diseases. And by his stripes we were healed. So no matter what the doctors say or the tests say, we're trusting in him to be our healer. We're not trusting in any man or what man can do for us. And I would encourage you, if you feel sick or if you don't feel well, just keep looking to the Lord and to His promises. And we know that by His stripes we were healed. I've heard some great testimonies about how John Lake, when there are many miraculous things happened in his ministry, when there was a great plague and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord healed many people. And even when they would put the virus on his skin, the virus would die, because he said, there's a life in me that that kills that virus. And I think that's what we need to be, brothers and sisters. We need to realize the Holy Ghost within us is God Almighty within us. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater is the Holy Ghost than any virus or any sickness. And that sickness will not be able to stand. So what we need to do is continue to be in Christ, be in Him, and be happy in Him, and be satisfied with Him, and just continue to feed on His Word and to pray for one another. So today I want to talk about prophecy. I was just drawing my thoughts to it, how, you know, Isaiah was obviously prophesying of the Messiah. So he's looking as a prophet out to something that has not happened yet. The Messiah had not come yet. And he's under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, saying, prophesying, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, the house of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So we know, as we look back now at the scriptures and at what happened, it's obvious for us. We can clearly see today that he was speaking about Jesus. It's easy to look back to see the history and see how Jesus fulfilled the prophecy. But at that time, at the time of Isaiah, no one in the days of Isaiah understood that the Messiah would not come for more than 700 years. No one probably understood Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah was probably seen as a strange person. He was seen as someone that, you know, they weren't really sure whether he was completely right or what. And that's the way it is. That's the way God operates. When he uses people, many times those people are seen as strange people. They're not seen as normal people. They're seen as oddballs. And if we're going to follow the Holy Ghost, we're going to be seen as oddballs. But that doesn't matter to us. We know that Christ is the way. He's the truth, the life. And we're not interested in what modern society thinks about us. We're only interested in the Lord. So when I look back to seeing this in the scriptures, and how it's so easy for us today to see that prophecy was fulfilled, but it's not always easy. And when Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, how many people recognized that prophecy was being fulfilled? Not many. Not many at all. So I wanted to read a few things Brother Branham said about that, because I think they're very applicable. In Greater Than Solomon Is Here, 1963, Brother Branham says, no wonder Jesus said, she'll rise in the day of judgment and condemn this generation. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was a man with a gift of discernment. Now Jesus Christ is here in the form of the Holy Ghost, with all the divine gifts and the whole body of Christ being made manifest. All these things that he promised to the church is being shown to us. And some of us care so little. Some of us are so, we keep looking ahead. As long as Satan can make you look ahead for something yonder, you're passing over the very thing that God has given you. Listen to this remark, Brother Branham says. Man is constantly praising God for what he has done, and looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing. That's the status of mankind. He's always did that. The same thing tonight. Men look over, look back, see what God does, talk about a great God back yonder at Pentecost, looking for a great day of millennium when he'll come again, ignoring his very being in the presence of his people, making ready for that millennium. They ignore it. It's just the nature of people to do that. Satan gets among them to hide their eyes from the very thing that God sent to them. That's all he has to do. You go to church as much as you want, do whatever you wish, but to ignore the very things that God sends us, why we're turned down. So that's one quote from Brother Branham. I have another one here in 1963 called The Indictment in Jeffersonville. Brother Branham says, they did it because they didn't know who he was. They didn't know that the vindication of God's word wasn't standing up there in that day. Now, it was one day, and that was right. It was one day, just keep the laws and things. But the same laws that they was keeping pointed them to a time when he would come to be this man that he was purposed to be. They had this part, but didn't take the other part. And that's the same thing they're doing now. They got a church and they believe in Jesus Christ and say they do and things, and but deny the hour we're living in. Still brings that same old proverb back. A man's always praising God for what he's done, looking forward for what he would do or will do, and ignoring what he's doing and being condemned by it. See, they think God is wonderful, how great he is. What's he going to do? He's going to come and be a rapture someday and go home, and denying the very signs and wonders right here at the time that the scripture says he's be doing it, and miss the whole thing. If the blind lead the blind, Jesus said, they'll all fall in the ditch. Just pray, God, to open our eyes in this last days. All right. So that was the second quote. I want to share one more quote along the same lines. Just as a background here, Christ is identified the same in all generations. Brother Ram says, Joan of Arc, when she rose on the scene back there in France, the French revolutionary, what you Catholic people do, you put her to death for a witch because she's seen visions, interpret dreams. 200 years later, you done penance, dug up those priest's body that killed them, that had her burnt to the stake, and throw them in the river. That's your penance. See, you never know St. Patrick when he was here on earth, which was Sukkot. You never know him. Claimed to be one of the saints. Look how many thousands of his children you killed there in Ireland, see? It's after, it's all over. It's vindicating, gone. Then they build a tomb to it. The message has done past and gone into something else. Man is always praising God for what he has done, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing. That's as good as the devil wants them to be. Very religious scholars and educators prove what he had done, prove what he's going to do, and ignoring what he's doing. See, that's where it's always been the same. So, again, now this is back. I'm just speaking to you here. When we look at what Isaiah was prophesying, at that time, he did not have everyone agreeing with him. He did not have a life of ease. There was trouble, and there will always be trouble. Man will always fail to see what God is doing because he's looking for something else. And we all tend to do that. Most people, even today, they don't entertain the thoughts, even in the midst of all this trouble we're in, that we're at the end. People are looking, we're going to get past this, things are going to be the same, which we will get past this virus, but I don't think things will ever be the same. Most people don't think or realize that it's been prophesied that this nation has rejected God. That there's many people today, yes, that call on the Lord, but Brother Branham clearly spoke in 1956 that this nation rejected God's call. And since then, this nation has been on a severe decline, the morality of the nation severely declined. And over the course of many years, people can't see it because it happens. It's rapidly happening, but people don't really see what's happening. They don't see that the nation standards of what is acceptable have been are dramatically different than what they were 50-100 years ago. And so people don't realize the time they're living in because they accept new standards, they accept new ways. When Jesus fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah, people did not recognize that he was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Only a very small minority recognized Jesus for who he was. See, today, many people will look back, they'll agree that Jesus was the Messiah, but most of the people in that day, they actually rejected the Messiah. As Brother Branham said, people look back, they see the prophecy, they agree, they look forward, they see what has to happen yet, but right now they can't see what's happening. I wonder, brothers and sisters, do we realize what time we're living in? Do we understand? Can we see where we are? You know, we're in a time of trouble. You know, is this the time of trouble that was prophesied? I'm not saying it is. I actually believe it's a precursor to the great time of trouble. But let's look at Daniel for a moment. Daniel 12, verse 1 and 2. Daniel 12, 1 and 2. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that day. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. It's a good time to know that your name is written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So again, it's talking about that time of trouble. It's talking about the resurrection that will happen. And we know it's talking about the end time. We can see he prophesied this time of trouble. So are we nearing that time? Will we know when we're entering that time? Will people know? You know, I believe that the bride will not be here as we enter the tribulation. Let's go to Matthew 24. Verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. See, now everybody that reads the Bible knows there's a coming time of tribulation. Everyone is looking to that time, but they're looking to the future. They're saying, yes, that's way off in the future. I remember when I first became a Christian and you talk about the coming of the Lord, people say, yeah, I believe he's coming, but that'll be, you know, not in my day. It'll happen in the future sometime. And it's kind of what part of the problem. People don't want it to happen now. They don't expect it to happen now, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I know Brother Branham said that the bride will not go through tribulation, that the rapture will take place before the tribulation set in. And I believe that. I fully believe that. But I wonder how many people will understand when they're entering into it. How many people will recognize the tribulation period once it starts? Again, are we seeing a precursor? If nothing else, the time is short. We don't really know how much time is left. But we know the time is short. You know, a lot of people get in their mind, well, this has to happen, that has to happen before the rapture, this has to happen. But I want to bring to your minds that Brother Branham said he could not see one thing left that needed to happen before the coming of the Lord. In 1958, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Branham said, I believe that by God's word, I don't see one thing left that would hinder the coming of the Lord Jesus tonight. Now that sounds rather erratic, but it's the truth. All the prophecies pertaining to his second coming, as far as I know, is already fulfilled, waiting for his coming. So what kind of people should we be? Alert and ready at any minute for his appearing. 1964, a sermon called A Trial. Brother Ram says, I believe we're at the hour of the coming of the Lord. I believe that these earthquakes and things that we're having, this moon up there, the observatory and things, they're watching the moon. It's squirting blood looking eruption from inside of it. Jesus said that the moon would be turned into blood and there'd be an earthquake all over the earth in the days before his coming. He claimed that the day would be settling just exactly the way it is. And I believe, Court, I want to say something to you this afternoon that I don't see one thing to hinder him from coming right now. That the world, if I had time, I could prove it to you, is setting perfectly, even by names and position, the way it's supposed to be setting when he comes. When is the hour? I know not. No one knows. But he said, when these comes to pass, look up. Israel's in the homeland. Everything is setting just exactly right for his coming. So, brothers and sisters, the prophet of God that we trust and that we follow, that we believe his ministry was the fulfillment of Scripture, I believe with all my heart, Brother Branham, was the fulfillment of Malachi 4, that he was the Elijah to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he is saying, as far as he can see, there's not one thing left that needs to be fulfilled. We can't, in our minds, say, well, this has to happen, that has to happen, because we could be wrong about that. We need to be ready now. We need to be alert, be ready at any minute for his coming. Praise the Lord. I wanted to look at John the Baptist for a moment. You know, when John the Baptist, he was prophesied in Isaiah, but when he came so different to what people were thinking. And that's something that has been a pattern all through the Scriptures. When the prophecy went forth, it was misunderstood. When the prophecy was fulfilled, it wasn't recognized, not by most people. Isaiah 40, chapter 1. No, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So that was the prophecy of Isaiah, talking about the voice crying in the wilderness. They asked John, they said, are you the Messiah? Are you the prophet? And he said, I am the voice of one that cries in the wilderness. He identified himself by the Scriptures. John knew who he was, but the people didn't recognize him. When John, just picture in that day, when John walks out of the wilderness preaching repentance, most people did not understand what was happening. The Scripture was being fulfilled right before their eyes. Even some who followed John, I believe they probably didn't understand. They didn't understand. You know, when you look at what it says, every valley shall be exalted. People didn't understand the meaning of that. You know, but when John spoke to the poor people and they accepted John's ministry and they repented and they were baptized and they came with all their hearts to God, that's when the valley was exalted. But people were expecting something else. You know, when John spoke out against Herod for taking his brother's wife, that's when the high every mountain and hill was made low. Again, not what people had imagined. People had imagined something very different. they, when they looked at those scriptures and they saw something was going to happen. But when it happened so different to what they thought, and that's why they missed it. And that's how people miss what God is doing all the time. They imagine in their mind some carnal idea of how it's going to do it. Even in our day, when Brother Branham came and his ministry came to fulfill the scripture, many people were not expecting God to come that way. They were not expecting a man who was not educated to be used by God to fulfill that scripture. They were not expecting a poor man with backward ways, but that's how God works. He loves to hide himself from the so-called wise and prudent. He loves to reveal himself to a humble heart. So we need to be careful, brothers and sisters. We need to be careful in this day. We have been given so much. We have been given the Word of God. We have been given a message in this hour, an end time message. But it's not enough. In the days of John, you could recognize who John is. You could recognize he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But we need more than that. We need to recognize what God is doing now with us today. We need to walk. Some of the followers of John, they heard the message, but they didn't do what the message told them to do. John's message said, "Behold the Lamb of God." You know, follow him. And many of John's followers stayed with John, and they kept their eyes on John. The same thing has happened in this day. Many followers of Brother Branham's ministry, they haven't obeyed his message. They've done exactly different than what the message said, and they've elevated Brother Branham to the place where they almost make him Jesus Christ. But Brother Branham never pointed to himself. He always pointed to the Lord. He never wanted to preach a gospel different than Paul's gospel. So we shouldn't be pointing to anywhere but to Calvary and to the old-fashioned gospel, to Paul's gospel. And we can't pervert what was said in this last days. We have to be careful about our attitude. You know, there's a lot of knowledge that's been given in the message of the hour. There's a lot of knowledge in the scriptures. And when you do read your Bible and you do pray, that's all good. When you listen to the voice of the end time prophet, that's good. But what we can't afford to do is get an arrogant attitude. We can't afford to be know-it-alls. We can't afford to say, "I know exactly what God is going to do." No, we don't. We need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God. We need to humble ourselves to God so that he can show us what he's doing in our day, what time it is that we're living in. We have been privileged people, but we must be born again. We must be sealed by the Holy Ghost baptism. We must be part of the fulfillment of the Word of God. Not just recognize that God fulfilled a portion of his word in Jesus Christ, in John the Baptist, in Brother Branham, but we need to see that word being manifested through us. Christ in you. That's the need of the hour. That's the hope that we need, is to see Christ fulfilling his word through us. Not just seeing Christ in someone else, but seeing Christ manifest his promises in us. You know, I was thinking about Israel. Brother Branham said it's a sign. And Jonathan Kahn, when you listen to his video, he talks about Jerusalem as a sign. God is going to restore and build Jerusalem. He promised in the Bible. And we don't know when that's going to happen. Jerusalem is a nation again, but we know God is going to visit it again. We believe the temple's going to be rebuilt. And the Bible talks about even in troublous times. Let me just read something in Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. You know, Daniel recognized by looking back at Jeremiah's prophecies that 70 years had gone by and it was the time. And he was praying and the angel came to him. Daniel 9, verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications of the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. You know, when we look at this prophecy and we realize it has to happen, it's not going to happen when everything's going well. It's going to be in troublous times. And the promises that are yet to be fulfilled by the bride of Jesus Christ, I don't believe they're going to happen when things are calm and peaceful. They're most likely going to happen in troubled times. Most people won't recognize what God is doing. But those people that God has chosen, the elect of God, they will see the hand of God, and He will be that shelter in the time of the storm. He will be our resting place. He is our calm. He is our joy. I want you, brothers and sisters, not to fear what man shall do unto you. I want you to rest in the scriptures. Let's look at Psalms chapter 27. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Praise the Lord. And then if I turn to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 2. O Lord, be gracious unto me. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. And Psalm 37, verse 39 to 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Brothers and sisters, we certainly are in troublous times. I'm not saying we're in the tribulation period, but I'm saying the tribulation period may not be far off. And we need to recognize what time we're living in. We need to recognize the opportunity we have now. And we need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We need to seek Him. Take advantage of the time now that you have. If you have more time alone, take advantage of the time where you can spend time in the Word of God, reading the Bible, praying, seeking God, asking God to help us. We need to ask, Lord, help us to see. Open our eyes, Lord, that we can see. Don't listen all day to the media. Don't listen all day to the news channels and to the radio and to all the fear that the world is in. What we need to do is get alone and get quiet and listen to the Spirit of the living God. We need to read the Bible and listen to what God is saying to us. Praise the Lord. I don't have a long message for you today. Just the message is very short. Recognize the time we're living in. Don't let it pass by and not recognize that something's happening. The Lord is doing something. Yes, the Lord is going to fulfill his prophecies, but they're not all going to be fulfilled when everybody understands it. They're not all going to be fulfilled when things are going well. Things are going to happen in troublesome times. God bless you, saints. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so grateful for your mercy. Lord, this thought that's on my heart, Lord, about the time we're living in and the prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. Lord, I know that you're in control of all things, Father. And Lord, we trust in you. We look to you. We ask for your mercy. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. We ask you to fill us, cleanse us, help us, Lord, to do your will. Lord, may we finally be the people that you want us to be. May we be the people that arise and shine, for the time has come and the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Help us, Lord, to fulfill your purpose for our life. Help us, O God. Bless your people today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.